Jesus than silver and gold, and more than anything, we certainly do thank God for the choir reminding us of that. I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord, for in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy. And what an honor it is for me to be standing here on today. Would you give God a great big hand? That without him we can do nothing, but with him we can do all things. And so we're grateful on today for that. I want to take this time right now to thank God for the leader of this house. In his absence, would you help us celebrate our leader, Pastor Armstrong, in his absence? Amen. And to First Lady Melanie Armstrong in her absence as well, as she stands beside him. Amen. We're so grateful and honored to be here on today. I have some people with me. I believe I have my mom, my dad, my grandmother, my sister, and a host of other. I see my aunt back there. Aunt Penny, how you doing? God bless you. Good to see you. And we're just honored to be here on today, God. It's preaching time. Anybody interested? I'm going to ask that you stand in honor of the word of God. And if you can join me in the word of God in the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 7. Verses 11 through 15. The book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 11 through 15. And there you will find these words left on record for our consideration. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." And then he went up and he touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Verse 16, I'm reading from the New International Version. I'm sorry, I failed to mention that. Verse 16, they were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." With your prayers, but more importantly, God's presence, I want to preach around this subject. Don't bury me just yet.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Don't bury me just yet. Let us pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father God, we do thank you for this time that you have allotted me to stand before your people, God. I thank you for allowing an imperfect vessel represent a perfect God And so right now, God, I ask right now that you would just have your way, God, that your Holy Spirit would lead, God, and be with, God, right now in the name of Jesus. I ask right now that your word would equip, empower, and encourage lives on today, God. We thank you and we praise you, God. We ask that those who may not be saved, after hearing the word, that they will come saying, what must I do to be saved? God, this is our prayer. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor, and the people of the Lord said, amen.
Amen.
Just for the next fleeting moment, I want to talk about don't bury me yet. My brothers and sisters, I found out that life is full of many twists and turns. It seems to present us with many unexpected challenges that we did not ask for. For you see, in life, we have to experience both its joys and sorrows. And sometimes it feels that life hands us more sorrows than joys. It is hard at times to explain what life is due to the fact that life is ambiguous and full of uncertainty. I believe it was Grandmaster Flash that said, it's like a jungle sometimes, and it makes me wonder how to keep from going under. And it was Forrest Gump's mother who said it best when she said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And so while we're looking at the current state of our world today, it is safe to say that we don't know what is coming next. Life seems to have more questions than answers, more problems than solutions. And all that is being portrayed through the media is a series of misfortunes, mishaps, and calamities. And it seems that all of these things that have transpired seem to have given us a bleak and dismal outlook on life. When we hear about all of the killings due to senseless violence, the police brutality towards African Americans, and a plethora of other incidents that have befallen us as a nation, it seems like a hopeless case. It can almost cause us to have the same sentiments like the prophet Jeremiah stated in the book of Lamentations when he said that things are so bad that he forgot what good was. And the truth of the matter is we don't have to look at what's going on in the world. We can look right at our own personal misfortunes, mishaps, and calamities that we have been plagued with. You don't have to say anything, but if we are all honest with ourselves, we can admit that we are all dealing with something. And you see, I'm not ashamed to say that I've had some issues in my life that caused me to wonder whether or not I really matter to God. I felt like giving up and calling it quits because it looked like things were not going to turn around for me. But I'm here to tell you that no matter what the circumstance or situation that you are challenged with, God has not forgotten about you. Why don't you look at somebody and say, God has not forgotten about me. Yeah, so I choose to believe that in the book, like it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, verse 7 and 8, it says that the end of a matter is better than its beginning. And you see, we as Christians in the body of Christ don't wait until the conclusion of the whole matter. We don't allow God time to step into our situations so that he can work it out. We just decide to give up. But it is often in those times when we give up and throw in the towel that God steps in and works on our behalf. Do I have any witnesses here today? And so that's all our text here is trying to say. That's all it's trying to teach us. You see, here in the book of Luke, this is one of the synoptic gospels along with Mark and John. But it's interesting that Luke is the only writer that records this story. It is not in the other books. And here in the story, it starts out that Jesus and his disciples have come to the city of Nain, which was a small town. And for those of you who don't understand Nain, it might mean nothing to you, but let me talk about it for a while, because it says that when you look at the city of Nain, its name means green pastures, pleasant or lovely. It was a place of comfort and familiarity. But what do you do, Reverend Holloway, when the predicament that you are in is contrary to the place where you are? I'll say it again. What do you do when the predicament that you are in is contrary to the place where you are? I believe somebody in here knows what I'm talking about, because you find yourself in a situation where you thought things were getting better, but they only got worse.
All right.
You thought because of the place that you were in was going to be filled with promise, but instead it was filled with pain. You thought because you moved out of the ghetto and into the gated community that trouble wouldn't find you, but it followed you there and showed up at your doorstep. You thought that since you stopped taking the bus and you started riding a Benz that you was going to be on Easy Street. But that wasn't the case. Everything was the exact opposite. You thought that where you would be, things would be different by now, but I found out that this is the place you need to be in for Jesus to show up. Yeah. Yeah, that's when Jesus shows up, because he doesn't show up in our time of comfort and comfortability. He shows up in the crisis. He looks for these moments for us to show up when we are in our comfort and things are familiar with us. Everything's going well, so he doesn't need to be there. But it is in these instances when he shows up. So now here it is, the story. It says that there is a mother who is burying her only son, and to make matters worse, she was a widow. And see, she's already been to one funeral, and now she is faced with another. And sometimes it seems that when one situation arises, another one is sure to follow. It's like the old saying used to say, if it's not one thing, it's another. And this story here is reminiscent of Job, because if you remember Job's story, when calamity had befallen him, he was doing everything fine. Everything was well. Everything was going well. He was at his house eating, and all of a sudden somebody comes up to him to tell him some bad news, that the house was falling and his children was killed. But then right after that, while that person was still speaking, somebody else came up and told him some more bad news. And so it was this same Job that said that man that is born to a woman is of few days and full of trouble. And you see, that is something that we cannot escape, is trouble, because trouble has a way of finding us. Trouble doesn't need an invitation to show up in our lives. It just RSVP when it wants to. We don't have to have a reason for trouble. It just seems to show up at the most inopportune time. And so here it is now that she is getting ready to bury her son after she buries her husband. And you see, when she lost her husband, she lost her provision and protection. And it's most likely that she is going to become destitute, because all she had to rely on is gone. What do you do when all that you had to rely on is gone? What do you do? How do you think she was feeling when she went through this situation? She's all alone, and now she has nobody. But watch this. In verse 13, it says, when Jesus saw her, his heart went out to her. It's interesting to me, because when you look at some of the other miracles that Jesus performed, know if you will that the subject he was dealing with, they spoke directly to Jesus and told them about their situation. You see, you remember when on the stormy sea of Galilee, when the storm arose and Jesus was asleep on the boat, and the disciples came to him saying, Master, Carest thou not that we perish? They spoke to him of their situation. And it was the same way with the man who was stricken with leprosy. He came to Jesus. He fell down and he said, Lord, if you are willing, can you make me clean? God answered him, said he's willing, but he still said something to Jesus to let him know about his condition. But when I look at the text, it says that the woman didn't say anything about her situation. It lets us know that Jesus saw her. And all I'm trying to say here is that we have a Savior who sees. We have a Savior who sees without saying anything. You see, sometimes we feel that because we don't say anything, that God isn't concerned about us. But I'm here to tell you that God cares for us and he sees what you are going through. He sees what you are going through. People may overlook you, but God will look on you. And I'm so grateful that God looked on me. When people tried to dismiss me, God looked on me. When people turned their back on me, God looked on me. I'm so happy today that God will look on you when others will overlook you. Do I have any witnesses here? And so you see, that's why he went on to tell her, don't cry. He went on to tell her, don't cry, because he said, I see what you're going through. He said, I know the road is rough and the going gets tough, but don't cry. He said, I know you've been up all night tossing and turning, but don't cry. I know so-called friends have forsaken you, but don't cry. He's telling us not to cry because he sees. Is there anybody here that's grateful that God sees?
Thank you, God.
And so now it says here that as they are traveling, and now it's the coming together of two crowds, because it's Jesus and his disciples, and then it's the woman and the funeral procession's crowd, and they merge together. And any time that crowd that Jesus is in comes together, things are destined to change. And so right now, the Bible says that Jesus went up to the coffin and he touched it. And this spoke to me because if we examine culture, we know that as Jewish, you weren't supposed to touch a dead body because it would defile. And so God, he didn't touch the body, but he touched the coffin. And so this spoke to me because this told me here that Jesus, he didn't touch the young man, but he touched the coffin that he was lying in. And this tells me that God doesn't have to touch us, but all he has to do is touch our situation that we are in. And so when God touches our situation, things are bound to change. Thank God for touching your situation. And so with some of us in here, we're waiting for God to touch us. We're waiting for God to lay hands on us. We're waiting for the prophet or the prophetess to lay hands on us. But God is telling us here that he has given us the authority to speak to our own situations. He tells the young man, he says, I say to you, get up. Other translations, he says, arise, get up from here. And so what happens is now that we have the power and the authority to speak to our situations. Some of us have some dead situations and some dead things in our lives, and that's what God has given us the power to do, is to speak over our situation. You must know that your words have power, not your enemy's words, not your haters' words, but your words have power. So tell somebody, stop talking to your God about your mountain and start talking to your mountain about your God. Because he's given us the power. He's given us the power to speak over ourselves. And I'm declaring that I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. God has more in store for me. God has greater coming to me. There's some dead things that is going on in our life. And I'm just here to tell you that you can't bury it yet, because God has more in store for you. God is working it out for you. God is making a way for you. All we have to do is speak, and it shall come to pass. And so here it is now. They're in this crowd. And as they're on their way to the graveyard, they're getting ready. She's getting ready to bury her son. And that's what some of us here, we have some things, some dreams, some visions that we're walking to the graveyard with. We're walking to the graveyard with what God has put in our heart to give to other people. And so here it is that I'm here to tell you that we shouldn't go to the graveyard just yet, because God is working out. So here it is, this crowd, it says, why is it that this crowd couldn't help this man? That they were walking with Jesus, and the crowd in the funeral procession, they couldn't help this man. And it makes me wonder, is it because they were in the same shape as the man dead? And sometimes the people that are supposed to be helping you out can't help you because they're in the same condition that you are in. And so that's why it's important that this text teaches us about connectivity and who we are connected to. You see, because sometimes we make the mistake of believing that everybody is our friend and has our best interest at heart. You know, we have some people, we don't call them backstabbers anymore. We call them frenemies. They smile in your face, and all the time they want to take your place. And so sometimes we make that mistake, but you got some people who are waiting and wishing and wanting your demise. If you're not careful, the people you thought who had your back will try to bury you. And I need people in my life that's going to help me while I'm going through. Yes. I learned that I can do bad all by myself. And so I need you to help me. I need you to see the best in me, even when I'm at my worst.
Yes,
I'm not going to let anybody hinder me for what God has in place. So here it is. He gets up from the mat. Because that's what it was. A coffin back then was a mat. It was like a stretcher. It wasn't what we had today. So he gets up from the mat. Jesus calls him and he says, arise, get up. And it says he got up and he began to talk. And then it makes me wonder, the text doesn't say what happened to him. It doesn't say why he was dead. It doesn't say what he went through. It doesn't talk about, but all it says, it lets us know that he was on his way to be buried. He was on his way to the graveyard. He was getting ready to throw away everything God had for him. And I'm so glad today that I know that it's not time for me to be buried yet, because I got more things to do. God has more things in store for me. Do I have anybody here that can testify and say that God has more in store for me? And so here it is now. Here it is now. It says that when he arose, that Jesus gave him back to his mother. Can you imagine the joy that she had? Because she thought that it was all over. She thought that it wasn't going to get better for her. She thought that things weren't going to turn around for her. But God gave her a miracle and turned her situation around. Because she probably thought that when her husband died, that it was going to be the same outcome with her son. But I'm here to tell you, that's how God works. He's in the turnaround business. God can turn it around for you. And God can fix it. And he can work it out.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
And so that's all I stop by to tell you, is that you can't bury it yet. You can't bury it. There's some visions, there's some dreams, there's some more achievements that God has for you.
Yes, God.
But as I go to my seat, I just want to tell you that after the Lord did this miracle, they don't go home the same way.
Hey.
They don't go home the same way. Because if you look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, there's a servant who's supposed to go home and God has healed you. Tell somebody, said, when God heals you, there's a certain way you're supposed to act. The Bible says that when they went home, that they began to praise God.
Yes, God.
That they were filled with awe.
Yes, God.
And that's what we need to do today.
Hey.
That when God does something miraculous in our lives, we need to give God the praise.
Hallelujah.
Would you look at somebody and say, I owe God a praise.
Hallelujah.
I owe God a praise.
Hallelujah.
Because he's done so much for me. Every time I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for me,
yes, God.
My soul cries out, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I just want to thank God for saving me. Is there anybody here today that knows that God has been too good to you? That every time you turn around, that God is blessing you. I just stopped by to tell you that you can't bury it yet. Because God is worthy of the praise. He's doing something awesome in your life. He's doing more for you in your life. And if you give God the praise, he's going to do more for you. Can I get a witness in the house? Look at somebody and say, thank God,
thank God
that he turned it around.
Thank
God that he made a way.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God that he made a way.
Yeah.
And so I thought that that was the miracle. But that wasn't the miracle.
Right.
The miracle is that God allowed you to live through all that you went through.
Right.
And the miracle is that you keep getting back up again.
Thank you, God.
No matter what anybody tries to do to you.
Thank you, God.
God still keeps making a way for
thank
you to
you,
get back up again. Because people tried to throw you away.
Hey.
They tried to turn you around.
Hey.
But you kept going forward.
Yes.
You kept your eyes on the prize.
Yes.
And I'm just here to tell God, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Because see, I got somebody else that they tried to bury too soon.
Hey.
Y'all know the story. He went to Calvary.
Yes.
On Friday.
Hey.
On Friday.
Hey.
On Friday.
Hey.
He went to Calvary on Friday. And they thought that he was dead. He stayed in the grave all day Saturday. He stayed in the grave all day Sunday. But somebody said early, early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his head. And I'm so grateful that Jesus is not dead. He's living today. He's living in me and he's living in us. Would you give your neighbor a high five? And say that you can't bury me yet. You can't bury me yet. Come on and put your hands together and give God some praise.
Amen. God is good. We're so thankful to you, Minister Malloy, for bringing that message. We are thankful for God for using you as a vessel to deliver his message. A story about turning our trials into testimonies, turning our mess into a message. Thank you, God. The doors of the church are now open. Deacon, deaconess, clergy, please assist me as we invite Christian discipleship and church membership. Genesis 12:1 says, God says, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to others and I will bless those who will bless you. But it starts with a relationship with God. So first, I open up an invitation for those who are looking for a stronger relationship with God. I invite you to come forward. Those who are looking for a church home, I invite you to come forward. If anyone's looking for special prayer, please seek out these individuals that are standing up, and they will lead you into prayer.
New life abundantly.
Come.
Come on.
Is there one?
To Christ. We offer Christ to you.
Shiloh's not a perfect church, but we love the Lord and we thank God that He continues to bless this ministry, this community, and this congregation.
Oh, my sister.